Who would win in a fight, David Tennant or Shuji Gatwa?
Well, David Tennant has the height, I'd say, but Shuji Gatwa absolutely has the muscle. So I'd put my money on Shuji Gatwa, I think.
Nice. I think Shuji's a bit feisty. I think he will take on David no problem at all.
Yeah. I think he'd knock him out.
Hello and welcome to Carry On Swearing, the podcast that likes to not just focus on the people behind the camera, but also in front of the camera. My next guest is, well, it's hard to explain what he does actually, but I can explain it's something to do with Doctor Who. Let's bring him in.
Hello, yeah, I'm Joe from the Confused Daddy Pose YouTube channel. It is kind of difficult to describe exactly what I do, but it's YouTube, loads of different types of video, most of them centering around Doctor Who.
Fantastic. So I think the first question I have to ask people is, how did you get into YouTube?
So I got into YouTube over 10 years ago now. As a kid, I'd always just search stuff I was interested in online, and YouTube was always there to give a video on behind the scenes of Doctor Who or behind the scenes of this obscure film from the 80s or whatever. And that sort of led me down a path of eventually, I think the first YouTubers I actually watched were, do you know the slow-mo guys?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Those were like my childhood. And then from there, I just consumed loads of content. And yeah, I've never stopped really just making YouTube stuff.
What was your first YouTube video that you released, just out of curiosity?
I made it when I was in, I think I'd have been about 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
It was an animation of, have you ever seen the film Return to Oz?
I have, very scary.
Yeah, it was an animation of, you know when the sofa moose hybrid thing starts flying off? It was a very, very badly made Lego animation of that, which is a complete curveball, very random, but that was the first video on the channel.
Why Doctor Who, I ask? I look at your Instagram and your YouTube channel, that's why I've asked you to come on, but why Doctor Who?
I think it's the show that's most captured my imagination throughout my entire life. There's just something about Doctor Who, because I think it's so ordinary. Like, the companions, at least from the revival, all feel they're just real people living in whatever year we're living in. And to have that form of escapism is fantastic. And obviously, I love making, like, fan films and that sort of content. And it's a very low-budget show in comparison to what others can be. Obviously, with the new Disney deal, that comment may be inaccurate. But, it's easy to make on a low budget. And Doctor Who fans are accustomed to, like, Classic Who, which has a budget of 20p. So I think that's one of the reasons that I'm drawn to it.
Well, I have to ask a very important question, buddy. Well, who is your favourite Doctor?
Oh, it's always tricky. I do have a favourite, but ranking all of the others underneath them is impossible. But I'd go Peter Capaldi. His entire era, his performance, everything about his 12th Doctor is just fantastic.
I do have to ask, because lots of people do ask me, did you go to university and did you study film or TV at all?
Yeah, I've actually just graduated a couple of weeks ago from a television production course.
Oh, amazing. What university was that, bud?
It was the University of Gloucestershire.
Ah, nice one. Hello. Me too. I also graduated from University of Gloucestershire. Did you think university helped you at all? I always get the same question going, should I go to university? Should I not go to university? Is it beneficial? Is it not beneficial? What is your opinion about university?
I think it was, first up, I've got to say, it was absolute, like, so much fun. Like, genuinely loved it. The sense of, like, independence and going there. That side of it was great fun. The content side, I did learn so many skills, and I utilised the facility. There's like a green screen room, TV studio, whatever. I have utilised those non-stop to make my own projects. So while I was there, I've made a sitcom, a short sci-fi film, the fan films, the Doctor Who stuff, which most people will be familiar with online. Most of that is shot in green screen studios or parts and in and around Cheltenham and that university. So I'd say it's massively benefited just how I make content on YouTube, learning editing, all of that. In terms of getting jobs in the TV industry, I don't know whether, hopefully, that's something that I'll go into in the future, but right now it's not, yeah, it's, I don't think people should go in immediately expecting to graduate into like high paid TV work, because yeah, as I'm sure you're like, yeah, able to tell people, because you've worked on some high profile stuff, haven't you?
I have, yes. I've worked on from Deadpool and Wolverine to Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Doctor Who Season 2, Season 1, and the 60th anniversary. Yes, I've worked on very high end, and it took me a very, very, very long time. I think it took me... I was in Masters at University of Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
And it took me... I was sending emails every single day. Every day, I was like... My best mate got into the industry before I did, and it kind of like... We were kind of, you know, going up together. He was a year ahead of me in university, because I went to University of Salford first and then went to University of Gloucestershire. So he's kind of already ahead of me. He's already in the industry. He moved to London. And it kind of like inspired me to get into the industry as well. So that's where I wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's... It seems to be the thing for most people, is like just kind of struggling, and eventually the perseverance gets people through it.
What is a project... If I came to you today and I said, what is a film that I can offer you to work on, what would that be?
Is that limited to films? Because if it was TV as well...
Film and TV, the whole shabam, the whole industry.
Yeah, it would 100% be Doctor Who. I mean, that probably... It's a boring answer and probably not a surprise. But yeah, 100% Doctor Who. That would be the ultimate dream. It would just be so much fun. It looks like such a fun show to work on as well. And yeah, that would be fantastic.
I would say that is... When I first stepped onto a Doctor Who set, time on a Doctor Who set, I think it was Jodie Whittaker. I did a couple of days. It was for The Timeless Child. And everyone was going, oh, The Timeless Child was like the worst episode. And, you know, I do agree to a point. But I remember standing there, and I was like, this is incredible. Just seeing the TARDIS for the first time, being on set, it was absolutely incredible. And then, of course, did the 60th anniversary with David Tennant. And then seeing that whole TARDIS as well. And, of course... I can't talk about the recent seasons, obviously, about not breaking NDA, but it was an absolute incredible seeing everything.
Yeah, it looks... The scope of it must be insane. Like, it looks amazing.
Yeah, the budget has massively increased from Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi and Jodie to, like, massive sets now. Massive... Well, everything, really. No, it's massively increased. So my question is what do you actually want to do in the industry? Obviously, you've got your YouTube channel, which is very successful. I have had a look, and it's done very, very well. But what is the actual end game for you? What is the role you want to get into in the industry?
I think ultimately, it might be a pipe dream, but the sort of ultimate goal, if I do get into the television industry, would be either writing or directing. It's like, I love storytelling, and I've been, we found recently about a couple of months ago, we cleared out the old family computer from like the early 2000s, and there's like scripts I've written on there at like age 4 for like various things. I've had like a obsession with Return to Oz at the time, so there's like Return to Oz scripts from when I was about 4 years old, and they're completely incomprehensible with little spelling errors everywhere. But yeah, I think any form of storytelling is where I'd like to end up. So, yeah, directing, writing, it's probably a pipe dream, but any of that area.
Of course. And these scripts, were they well written for a 4-year-old? Did they have good plots? Did they have a beginning, middle, end?
The plots were basically just pirated from anything I'd watched. I'd just write down in my own incarnation of it.
Amazing. So you say you do fan films of Doctor Who. Obviously, I had a quick look on your Instagram, and we'll be doing a deep dive into your Instagram very soon. Why short films, buddy? What was the inspiration behind that?
Okay, so the Echo fan films. Back in COVID, so I've been making like fan film sort of stuff for years and years, but back in COVID, when everything was locked down, me and a couple of mates came up with some ideas, and we were like, oh, doing Doctor Who films like this, that would be so fun. And then as COVID was coming to an end in about 2021, I was leaving sixth form, and I basically just recruited everyone I knew. So the lead actress in that fan film, Ellie, who plays the Doctor, she was in my philosophy class and drama class for A-levels, and I was just like, right, a bit of a strange request. Would you like to play the Doctor? And then I'd just do the same thing as many people as I knew. And it ended up becoming the current film I'm working on. Basically, every every mate I've ever had, or loads of people I've met through online means and through my YouTube channel as well, I've just roped them in, given them a little part somewhere here and there. It's a passion project. It's anyone and everyone, any resource I can find. Like one of my friends, his dad, he bought like a bank that was abandoned. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, just dropped him a message. Would you mind us filming in this abandoned bank? And then we've got a location. So it's just any resource I can find, I will try and utilise to make this Doctor Who Echo film.
That's incredible. Using the resources that you know. So you were using people that you knew from sixth form and university, and then you also used, I'm not saying you used friends to get the location, but obviously you've sourced out the location. When it comes to short films, can you just explain to me how that works? So lots of people, youngsters in the industry, want to make short films, how to find funding, how to find locations. Can you just go into a bit of detail of that for me, mate?
Yeah, so there's a couple of casting websites which, separate to my Doctor Who stuff, I've used to, I mentioned like a sitcom that I made and a little sci-fi short. There's casting websites like Spotlight or Mandy. Raising a bunch of money, I'd say, is important because I haven't been able to pay the actors for their work, but I always cover like travel and food and all of that stuff because it just keeps people happy. And there is a lot of people out there who are wanting to enter the industry, and everyone has to sort of start somewhere. So yeah, like be polite, be outgoing, ask as many people as you can. There'll be a lot of people that are like, no thanks, but good luck. And that's completely fine. Just, yeah, remain polite with everyone. See how far you can get and, yeah, use casting websites. Locations as well. A lot of people, if you just say, we're making a student film, even if you're not a student, people will be like, they immediately understand what that means. And they'll either charge you a very low price or they'll just go, oh, after hours, come in for free. So, yeah, it's just a case of using whatever you can find and whoever you can find to get the best product possible.
And have you ever had to deal with rejection? Like, I've known many times where you're probably in the same boat where you've been probably emailing lots of people trying to get into the industry and trying to break in. Have you ever had anyone turn around to you and go, no, sorry, mate, we're not looking for anyone at the time? And how do you deal with rejection?
I've emailed quite a few people about various bits in the industry or potential job applications and whatever, and there's a lot of rejection in this industry, but you just kind of have to, like, obviously in the moment you'll probably read it and go like, oh, I'm useless, never mind, let's give up. But you've got to pick yourself up from that point and never let it get to you. And that's what I've found as well, just keep trying and trying and trying, because eventually something's bound to work out. Even if it's not exactly where you were expecting to go in the first place, if you just keep going and going and going, making money however you can, you'll probably have to have like a side hustle. It'll eventually pay off.
It will. Side hustle is very important. When you first start out, don't expect to get into a job straight away. It'd be a day here, day there. You want to make sure you're still have a job behind you if you are looking for work. Like, you want to be working, and I'm not saying telling people what to do, I'm just saying that you want to start maybe working in restaurants and retail, have flexible hours. For example, if I ring up you tomorrow and say, I got a shoot tomorrow on Doctor Who for locations, can you come? Obviously, you got to work around your work, but you want to try and make yourself flexible as much as possible. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly, because that's the thing, it could come at any moment. There could be a call of, we need this person now, and then that could be your foot in.
Yeah, of course. Networking. Is networking important? I get lots of questions going, how did you know John from Ghostbusters? Or how did you get contact detail for a prop master from Grace Season 5? So how do you find networking? Can you adapt to it quite quickly?
Networking, I won't lie, I initially kind of struggled with. And I suppose I still sometimes struggle with, because I don't want to feel like I'm annoying people, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to just keep bombarding people with emails. But everyone I've tried networking with has been really receptive and really nice. Obviously, there's occasional, like, people that just ignore your emails or message, and that's fine. You've just got to... But everyone who's responded, they've been really, really polite, really friendly. They've offered a lot of good advice. And I'd say even in terms of your own projects, or even if you go to university or even sixth form, whatever, just keep speaking to everyone you know. because I've now got like friends who've graduated doing like makeup and actors and all different like set design, costume design, and then we're able to make our own short film utilizing all of them. So even on a smaller scale, I'd say just be polite to everyone, always be like willing to learn, and even if you make a mistake, just be willing to show that you care about what you're doing, and most people seem quite receptive to that.
Do you think university helped? Now, like I was saying earlier, that university, you said that it was very beneficial for you with the green screen and the recording, but with networking wise, do you think it was beneficial at all?
I'd say 50-50, because there are some like helpful contacts and people I've met through university. I don't want to like name drop anyone, but there's someone who works on Doctor who I, their mate happened to be in the university one day talking about something completely separate. I dropped in like, oh, I have a Doctor Who YouTube channel, and he was like, oh, I'm mates with this person, then passed me their number and we had a brief call, gave me some advice, and that was like absolutely fantastic. But then that is kind of down to chance, but I suppose the whole thing's down to chance. So I'd say it's a 50-50. Like, you can't just go to university and expect you're going to come out with the best network in the world. You still have to put in the effort, but it's a nice guiding thing, if that makes sense.
It does. I think when people say about how do you get into the industry, I think it's always two paths. It's the same two paths I hear is it's either by luck or by knowing someone that's already in the industry. Sometimes you might apply and it's very unlikely that you might get the job, unless it's like a location marshal or a very low-end job. But it's always two paths. It's always luck or it's always knowing someone in the industry. And they always say the same saying, it's about who you know, not what you know.
Yeah, that seems to be, I've heard a lot of people say the same sort of thing. And yeah, I do think it's what I said a minute ago, it's perseverance, and people who keep trying will probably get somewhere in the end.
Yeah, I completely agree. Right, buddy, let's talk about your YouTube channel for a second. It's, like I was saying on the chat earlier, it's very successful. And it's a fan-based YouTube channel, am I correct? Is that the right way of me saying it?
Yeah, I'd agree.
So explain to me what you actually do daily. Like, what is the actual videos you release and what do you talk about?
So there's a variety, but the main type of video is whenever there's sort of news related to Doctor Who. Obviously, when the show's on as well, there's reviews, but a lot of the time it's like in San Diego Comic-Con, they just announced the spin-off. So it's discussing my thoughts, my opinions on the spin-off. Sometimes I'll have people, some of my friends, because we have like a Discord server, which we made back in lockdown, I'll get them on the channel, and we all have very differing opinions on Doctor Who. So it's, yeah, discussion, that sort of thing. There's a lot of reviews as well. Obviously, when the show is on, I basically do daily uploads, just any news article, my own review, my own personal take. If I like the direction the show's going, if I'm not that keen on it, I'll, yeah, just put out all of my Doctor Who related thoughts. It's kind of second nature now. I just, whenever I read something on Twitter, Doctor Who related, I'm like, how would that translate into a good YouTube video? And then I'll go away and make it. But yeah, obviously as well, there's the fan films, which there's less of them because it takes so long to make. And the one we've been working on at the moment's like 2 years in the making. But yeah, that's always ticking away behind the scenes, staying up late nights, colour grading, sound editing, whatever, to get this fan film out.
How did you find success on YouTube? Now, like I said, I've had a quick look, quite a few views, quite a lot of comments. How did you find that success? Is it on one video that did really, really well, and then that popped for you, or was it a build-up?
Yeah, so finding success on YouTube is quite, like, it's once again, I'd say perseverance. Like, the algorithm at the moment really likes consistency. So when the show was actually on and I was basically daily uploading, that was bringing in some of the highest amounts I've ever earned. And that was just fantastic, because if you can consistently upload and come up with good and engaging titles, it's also about watch time. Like, you have to make sure that people watch sort of at least 4 minutes into the video. Otherwise, it gets like suppressed in the algorithm. The longer you make people watch, the more engaging and the more likely it is to be recommended. Yeah, it's also fulfilling promises. Like, obviously, most YouTube videos, you have to do a little bit of what people would call clickbait to get people to actually click on it. But you've got to then keep the viewer, because it's no good just having clickbait. You click on, then they click off, because YouTube doesn't like that. It won't get promoted. If they click on and then they stay for the majority of the video, it's, yeah, more likely to keep going. Also, there's like 8-minute videos. If you get past 8 minutes, you can put in more ads, which obviously means more money. It's quite complicated, but yeah, it's perseverance is the main thing. If you keep going, even when there's no views, because I started with like literally no views, as I mentioned earlier, an abysmal first video on the channel. But if you keep going and you're passionate enough about it, you'll get somewhere.
How do you deal with spoilers? Now, obviously, Marvel, Star Wars and Doctor Who is worse for spoilers. There's spoilers left, right and centre. Someone's on, you know, when the fans are on set taking pictures. How do you deal with that? Do you target that? Do you put that into your video or do you leave that alone?
So I'd argue, if we go back like 4 years, I'd probably talk about too much in terms of spoiler territory. Looking back on that, I'm like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have made a video saying this will be the plot. But to be fair, most of them were usually wrong. But I'd argue now what I try and do is if it's going to spoil a plot, like a plot line, I won't mention it. And I'll make a point of saying in the video, I'm not talking about this. But if it's like a filming photo, for example, there's, you might have worked on the episode, but Shooty and Virada Sethu in season 2, where they're in, I think it's like the 1960s, and if it's just a costume photo from far away that's going to be put in the newspapers, I'll discuss that, but there's certain elements about that episode which have been, would spoil the plot, and I won't say in videos so that that gets preserved, because you can always find certain spoilers on Twitter and I actively don't seek them out anymore. But if it's just like, oh, Shooter Gat was seen in a new costume in Cardiff, I'll discuss that sort of thing. So it's, yeah, if it's a plot spoiler, I'll avoid talking about it. But if it's just costumes or filming updates, then I see it as harmless.
Of course. If you are a fan of the franchise, not just Doctor Who, but obviously any franchise, and you are nearby and people are taking pictures of the set, I think it does it discredited if you're taking a picture and you're posting it online. And of course, if you work in the industry that we do, if you take a picture of a set that you're working on and that leaks, oh, you're in a lot of trouble.
I think that, yeah, that's the key thing. It's people always, I'd argue, end up taking it too far, and everyone's line is different. But I think if you see Doctor Who filming, you snap a picture and you're like, that was cool, and it's like the TARDIS and there's no spoilers, then yeah, I don't see the harm in that. But it's when people deliberately go out of their way to record dialogue or take snippets of it and share all the information that I feel like that's crossing a line, because it spoils the story.
So I have a question for you. Who would win, it's a random question, it just popped into my head, who would win in a fight, David Tennant or Shooty Gatwa?
Well, David Tennant has the height, I'd say, but Shooty Gatwa absolutely has the muscle. So I'd put my money on Shooty Gatwa, I think.
Nice. I do know, I think Shooty's a bit feisty. I think he will take on David no problem at all.
Yeah. I think he'd knock him out easy, sorted.
He would knock him out. Now, I'm just looking on your... I'm going to look on your Instagram and have a little deep dive into this. Now, I've noticed that you have quite a few Daleks in your... Is this your fan film? Some Daleks? I see a red one and, of course, the original brown one. Is this for the fan film?
We've got Daleks in this fan film. We've got Daleks, Sontarans, Cybermen, The Passenger, played by Johnny Mathers. Basically everything.
That's cool. My question is this. How did you get the Daleks and the costumes and etc.? Did you have a deal with Bad Wolf or BBC? Did you have fans that just like here have a Dalek for a day? You know, because this is the biggest franchise in the UK. So how did you get these props and these costumes and etc.?
Yeah, so because we made the first fan film, like first big Echo fan film back in 2021, and that there were no proper licensed like costumes or anything that looked like it was directly from the show. We just had like Omega, which we made ourselves. But after that film, I the like we got some traction, and there were people in my comments who said, oh, I own a Dalek. If you want to use that at some point, we'd be happy to lend it to you, which that's amazing. I was like, okay, absolutely. We'll utilize that resource. And then there was another guy who, Rory, shout out to Rory. He watched the fan films as well. And he messaged me going, I've got a Davros mask and another Dalek, if you want to use that. So I was like, fantastic. I paid for both of them to come down. We then had two Daleks on set. Then Rory gets like a Sontaran costume, Sontaran mask, messages me going, do you have any use for a Sontaran? And I was like, absolutely. So it is, and I remember as well, the Time Lord collar, that was, I put out on Twitter, because I knew I wanted the Time Lords in one of the films. I put out on Twitter, does anyone know where I could source a Time Lord collar? And this really, really generous guy who had one, I think it's from a like BBC stage play, like The Trial of Davros or something from way back. But he actually owned one of the Time Lord collars, and I drove halfway at a service station to borrow the collar, which we're still using now. We're almost done with it. But yeah, it's, people are very generous, and there's such a big community out there that really want to, yeah, because also it's generational, like certain people we've used props from were made fan films with those props in the early 90s or the 2000s, and they're like that guy who lent us the Time Lord collar, I message him every time we film, and he messages back going like, oh yeah, when I was your age, I was doing the same thing. And yeah, it is, it's, as I said earlier, just utilising every resource possible to try and get it.
It brings everyone together. That's what I like to hear. We all have a passion. I have a passion for filmmaking. I love working in film. You obviously have a passion for filmmaking. And I feel like everyone you get in, and this again, this is what we're discussing, like networking. If you didn't ask or people didn't reach out to you, you wouldn't have a Dalek concert. You wouldn't have a Sontaran mask or a Time Lord collar. This is a very important thing about networking. This is what we were stating earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%. And there's a funny story as well with Johnny Mathers, who played Passenger in Doctor Who Flux. When Flux was being made, I made a video saying, oh, this alien has been spotted on set, and it was him in the full Passenger costume. And then someone on set showed him that video, and he DM'd me on Twitter going, just seen your video, thought it was really funny, would you like to interview me? Which, that was such a big opportunity. And yeah, I interviewed him. He was absolutely lovely, like fantastic. Then when I released the second fan film, he DM'd me again going, look, mate, if you ever need a passenger in a film, I've got the full costume from the guy who designed it, and I'm down to be in it. Which, yeah, obviously, I'm not going to pass up that opportunity. We wrote him in, and he's now quite a big part of the third film. But yeah, it's mad how quickly these things can sort of snowball from one initial YouTube video talking about a filming photo to standing next to him on set.
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible to hear that. This actor, you know, on a, like I said, the biggest British sci-fi show ever made, has seen a video of yours, loved it, and gone, let me be a part of your journey. What an incredible story. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he was absolutely lovely.
I bet he was, absolutely. Have you ever tried to approach one of the doctors to be in your short film? Have they ever seen it? Has anyone commented on, David Tennant's going to love this, Shooty's going to absolutely adore that, Jodie, oh, she thinks it's incredible. Have you ever had any interaction with any of the doctors?
I've never said this on YouTube before, so this will be news to people, but it was going to be a series, but I only ever made one video discussing like what I'd do if I was showrunner. And I have a unused cameo from Sylvester McCoy where we're bickering about, he's saying, you're not fit to be Doctor Who showrunner. And I'm like going, yes, I am. And a little sketch, which I never actually released because that was supposed to be for the 60th anniversary, but I just never had time to complete that video. So maybe one day that will come out. But there is a little bicker between me and Sylvester McCoy on my computer somewhere in the backlogs of the files.
Amazing. I have to ask, and a random question again, who is your favourite master, actor-wise?
Ooh, that's such a tricky one, because John Sim is the childhood master. Like, as a kid, he was OG villain, loved him. Roger Delgado, I think, is his performance is insane in like the Third Doctor's era. But Sacha Darwin, I absolutely fell in love with his portrayal in Series 12. And I know you mentioned earlier it's a controversial episode, but I personally love the Timeless Children episode. And one of the main reasons for that is Sasha's performance. So I think I might go with Sasha. But then again, Missy, it's... Oh, I don't know. They're all amazing. But at the moment, it's subject to change. But I'm probably going to go with Sasha.
Nice. I think my favourite is Michelle Gomez. Absolutely lovely actress. She plays evil and crazy so well. She's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And I think it's right. She has the best arc of any of them. Like, Series 10 is my favourite series. And I just... The ending and the Master shooting himself in the back. It's all genius. Love it.
So here's a question for you. I love when I get to talk to people because questions start popping into my head. If you could change one arc of Doctor Who from 2005 to Shuti Gatwa's first season, what would you change?
Maybe it's recency bias, but I feel like I loved the season finale of season one up until towards the end of The Empire of Death. Like, Legend of Ruby Sunday, I thought was insane. Like, I was proper... we made a little reaction video, which Russell T Davies actually liked on Instagram, which was insane. But it... Because I was with a group of, like, people from my Discord, we're all nerds, and when Sutek's name was said, everyone cheered, we were over the moon, it was great fun. But I feel like all the answers we got didn't necessarily add up. Like, Ruby and all the snow falling, Maestro saying, this creature is wrong, and all of that ultimately amounted to kind of nothing. And I do appreciate the story arc of Ruby and her mum, and I thought that scene in the cafe is absolutely lovely. But, yeah, I wish that had a little bit more payoff.
Oh, I agree with you. I think, what would I change? I think I would change Peter Capaldi's first season.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair enough.
I wasn't very keen on it. I don't know. I think he was too dark for me, personally. I think he was just a bit... He's just regenerated again. He's completely forgot who he is. So he's not... He doesn't know he's really the Doctor he was. But I don't know. I think he was just too dark for me.
Yeah, I can see that. A lot of my friends at the time had similar feelings and kind of dipped off watching Doctor Who for a while back then. Because I think, although I love him, I think I completely understand why it's such a contrast from... The normal Doctor,
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into the swearing bit now. The bit I've been waiting for. I love the swearing bit. So, the reason why it's called Carry On Swearing is because in the industry that I work in and the industry that you're going to be working in, or that you do, there's a lot of swearing on set. I've heard people swear non-stop on set when they're a bit pissed off. So my question is this. What is a swear word you've heard that you weren't expecting from someone, maybe from your short film or... just around the block, or you've been on a set, or sorry, just watching a set from the outside, and someone's gone, fuck! What's one you've heard?
Ooh, I'll have a good think. I can remember one time, it's from myself, actually, because normally I'm relatively calm to a degree, but we were really running low on time. We were shooting one of the fan films. We were really running low on time, and... I just realised the entire scene we shot, and it's during a take, so we're like walking towards the camera, and you can kind of see on my face, I realise there's a huge continuity error, because one of the Time Lords isn't wearing the collar they were wearing earlier, and I've got the blooper somewhere, I think, I just, mid-take, was like, shit! Like, proper loud, it echoed everywhere. Because we just shot the entire scene and there was a massive continuity error. But yeah, that's one of the highlight moments I can remember. There's also on set, because obviously the Dalek voice things are in the Daleks that we use on set. They have like ring modulators in there. And just hearing Daleks, like they always start having a little diss battle between the pair. Just hearing Daleks swearing is always fantastic.
What is your favourite swear word? Mine changes every episode. I started off with my favourite word being cunt.
Yeah.
Then it was fuck. Then it was shit. I think I've gone with bastard now. I just heard it the other day and I said, you know what? When you're really pissed off, you just go bastard. I love it. It's so British. What do you think?
No, I bastard maybe. It's a fun one. It rolls off the tongue. maybe shit. I think it highlights and encapsulates every moment of, oh dear, like it really punctuates that nicely. So I think I'll go with that.
What do you think Matt Smith and David Tennant's swear words would be? I thought like David's quite, he's a fuck, you know, he's a classic man. He goes, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah, that's very David Tennant, yeah.
And then Matt Smith, oh, I think he would be a bit more elegant. Maybe he would be a cunt man, he'd be like, cunt, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe, I don't know, I get the impression Matt Smith would have a really quirky one. I'm trying to think, like something outside the box that, do you know what I mean? That not many people say. Nothing springing to mind, but I'm sure someone could think of
bollocks. Maybe says
yeah,
bollocks.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. That works.
Peter Capaldi's just swearing non-stop. Obviously, he was in the thick of it. He's used to swearing. He knows,
yeah, you know, every word possible.
And then Jodie, I don't think Jodie swears. I think she's nice. I don't think she's ever sworn in her life.
Of course, never.
What would is a little challenge for you, a bit of fun. What would a Dalek sound like if they were swearing? Obviously, you just said that you've heard some Daleks go backwards and forwards swearing. What would a Dalek sound like if they were swearing?
I don't know how to describe it other than it's a Dalek, like their voice. You know, when they're proper shouting. Because there's the range. There's either the actor slightly messes up and then they just say in their normal voice, like, shit. And it just comes through slightly ring modulated. Or they fully play into it and you just get a proper, like, extermination level bugger and all of that, and it's great fun.
Can you do any impressions of any of the villains of the Doctor Who universe?
Oh, I don't think I'm qualified to do that.
I think I could do the Meep. Like, I am the Meep, oh fuck it.
Yeah, that is the most in-character Miriam Margolyes thing to ever say.
Fuck off!
Oh, I'm sold.
So, I have a question for you. What is your next... You've told me you're doing your short film. Let's start with the short films, actually. What was the first one called, and how much did it cost? Where did the idea come from? What was the story?
So, the fan films, the new one, it's the third and final part to like a little trilogy. It's called Doctor Who Echo's Destiny. So it follows the Echo Doctor, who there's a lot of lore to explain because there's 2 hour and a half long films already out. But she is basically an amalgamation of various doctors created by Davros to stop an incarnation of the Doctor who's basically the Valyard. So one version of the Doctor was interfered with and he has now become a bit evil and he's going off the rails. So the Daleks have created their own Doctor to go after him and stop him. So she's kind of got an internal struggle of she's a Dalek creation, but she's supposed to be doing good, but the Daleks want her to kill. But then if she doesn't kill, that Doctor could destroy the universe, and there's loads of little dynamics at play there.
Very cool, very cool. And you say, how long did it take you to film, sorry?
I began writing this script in, I think, November 2022, but we started shooting in February 2023, and we're still not done. We've still got about 4 or 5 scenes to shoot, so that's probably 4 or 5 days. I'm hoping by September we'll have wrapped the entire film. And yeah, it's that'll be over 2 years, I'd say, of constant work and trying to get it done. But yeah, it's great fun.
Because you're a Doctor Who YouTube channel, do you get invited to the blue carpet? Do you get to go to press days?
Sadly, not as of yet. I've been given things to review. So when there was like the Magic the Gathering cards, I had those. Some of the action figures I've reviewed, but in terms of actual events, I did manage to get my way into the Space Babies premiere in Cardiff. That was great fun, but that wasn't directly through my YouTube channel.
Okay.
No, if the BBC are listening, I'd be happy to go to any of these events.
You follow me on Instagram. Have you seen my Doctor Who jacket from working on season 1 and the 60th?
Yes, I have. It's very, very cool. I'm very jealous of that.
What advice would you give yourself your younger self that you didn't know now?
There's, I don't know, there's not too much I'd change, to be honest. I feel like if I go right back, it's a lesson I learned relatively quickly to like secondary school days, because I was still making fan films back then. I'd say don't listen to the people that go, oh, this is tragic, what are you doing, shut up. Because if you're finding it fun, which I was, like me and my mates were having so much fun making them, ultimately, whether it's a little bit cringe or not, who cares? It's great fun, and now I'm like using YouTube as a source of income, so it has played out. Yeah, don't be deterred by people saying, oh, it's not a real job, or oh, this is silly, or grow up, or any of that stuff. If you're enjoying it and it's good fun, I'd say stick with it, and yeah, eventually you'll get somewhere. That's, yeah, I feel like I keep saying that, it's on a loop, but yeah, that's my advice.
No, it's really good advice. What, I know you just mentioned it, but what advice would you give someone that wants to get into YouTube?
I'd say find a niche and make sure your videos aren't like cookie cutter, you can find them anywhere. Because a lot of people, like there's big YouTubers who, when they get famous, people start channels just basically ripping them off, imitating them. That never works, because if someone wants to see the original, they can find it. They don't need a cheap knockoff of it. So I'd say inject personality into it. Make sure they at least somewhat vary, because they can be similar to other videos and other topics and other channels. That helps the algorithm, and you can do collabs, but they have to be uniquely yours, and you have to give your audience a reason to keep coming back, whether that's your personality or the content of what you're saying is different or unheard by other people. And yeah, usually there's like some sort of big project that most YouTubers work on, like myself is the fan films. If you get known for a variety of things, you can, yeah, bring in different audiences that way.
Amazing. And is that what makes you different from another Doctor Who YouTube channel? I don't know many Doctor Who YouTube channels. Let's say Who Culture, for example. What makes you different from yourself on Who Culture?
Yeah, so I'd argue a channel like Who Culture has mastered the, like, top 10 sonic screwdrivers or top 10 moments. So there's no point trying to chase exactly that style of content. So I put a lot of personality into my videos and give my opinions, which is obviously, that's kind of a unique selling point, because no one else can have the exact same opinions. Also the fan films, I'd say there's a lot of Doctor Who fan films online, but I feel like mine are kind of different to others. Everyone has like a unique vision, and I'd say my vision for the fan films is unique. Maybe people would disagree, but I feel like it's doing stuff Doctor Who doesn't usually do, because it's a fan film, so the fans won't get angry at canon. I can play about with certain things or certain aspects of certain characters and get away with it, because without spoiling the current film, there's kind of a like romance plot between the Doctor and the Master, and I won't spoil where that goes, but that's something I don't know whether the show would be brave enough to do. And I'm not saying it should do, but in a fan film, you can explore it without the consequences.
If you could ask one actor to be in your film, right here, right now, I want you to ask that person. So it could be not just Doctor Who, it could be any franchise whatsoever. Who would you ask?
Ooh, that is a fantastic question. You know what? I think I would go with Christopher Lloyd. I think, yeah, he's just an icon. Doc Brown is such a good character, and once again, a niche film, which I reckon nobody listening to this has probably watched, because it was watched by about 10 people, but The Witches of Oz. He plays the Wizard of Oz in The Witches of Oz, which is a really low-budget American thing from, like, 15 years ago or something. It's basically like if Wizard of Oz did Avengers. It's mad, it's bizarre, it's the weirdest film ever, but he played the wizard in that, and I thought, like, as a kid, that completely captured my imagination. So Christopher Lloyd, I feel like, because also I feel like he could play a good doctor. Like, if the Doctor was American, he would be Christopher Lloyd. So yeah, I'd say Christopher Lloyd would be, he'd be one of my number one picks.
Amazing. We were just talking about negativity. Now, you're obviously, you're very niche on YouTube, and when you first started doing the YouTube stuff, which you, I think you said you was in sixth form, maybe university. What was the negativity that you got, and how did you channel that into creativity?
Yeah, so I'd say I've, my main YouTube stuff, which properly kicked off, like all the Doctor Who stuff I started making, was around sixth form time. But I'd been making videos since I was in, like, probably, definitely, like, primary school is when I started posting to YouTube. So it's kind of been with me my entire life. And obviously it's not been in the same form as it is now, because back then literally nobody cared what I made. But people at school would often, because maybe there's some young people listening to this, there'd be people at school that go, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you making that? Like, you look stupid. And ultimately, you just have to go, yeah, maybe it looks stupid, but it's a load of fun, so I'm going to get on with it. And if you find it fun at the end of the day, then I think it's definitely worth pursuing. Just, yeah, keep stick. Don't ever force yourself to make content in the hopes of, oh, this will be an easy job. Oh, I can make money from this. What? Because you've got to have an insane amount of passion to get somewhere on YouTube, because it's not easy, and YouTube shows you if a video does badly in the algorithm, it makes it clear, and it shows you, like, this video is 10 out of 10, like, really low views compared to normal, and that's not greatly motivating, but you have to pick yourself up and go, well, okay, that video might have flopped, but I'm gonna make a new one, which absolutely, yeah, absolutely bangs views, and just, maybe it won't always work out, but if you persevere...
Yeah, of course. I think that's the case, even in the industry, you know, you're going to get negativity. Some people are going to say you're not going to make it. Some people might be very, very positive. But I think the advice there is to pick yourself up and don't listen to anyone else. If you feel like you can accomplish that, then go out and accomplish it. It's going to take time. I'm not saying that it's not going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time. You might get in tomorrow, but you might not. It might take you another year for your first opportunity. But if you are willing to put the effort in, and I think the same for your short films. It might have been a crazy idea at first, but now, you know, they're on YouTube, you know, you can watch them wherever you want. I think it's just the passion behind it. And if you are willing to go for it, you're going to find success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say as well, just the thing in terms of YouTube, it probably applies to the TV industry as well, but you're always going to get DMs or messages from people that just say horrific stuff. Like, but you've got to just completely block it out, because they are some random... And they never show their face as well. That's one thing. They're always an anonymous account who decide to comment something horrible or insult someone or say something weird. But you've just got to block it out, because the internet's... A lot of it can be anonymous, and there are a lot of people out there who just want to make you miserable. Maybe they're jealous, maybe they're annoyed, maybe they're just doing it because they find it fun. But you've got to ignore them. Just carry on doing what makes you happy.
I agree. We're coming to the end of our podcast now, so I've got a couple more questions. My first question, very important question, if you could have a crew gift. Now, a crew gift is what you get at the end of a production. For example, my Doctor Who jacket that we referenced, Ghostbuster hat. Yeah. What would you want? If I said to you, you've worked on Doctor Who, Deadpool, Ghostbusters, whatever you wanted, what would your crew gift be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Maybe... a jacket, because I love wearing jackets. It's one of the reasons summer, like this peak in summer, annoys me. I can't wear a jacket outside. I'd say, yeah, maybe a jacket. A hat would be fun as well. I don't know how it would work, but sunglasses. I love sunglasses as well. I'll find any excuse to wear sunglasses. So maybe sunglasses or a jacket, one of them.
Okay. And if Russell T Davies came to you and said, I love your content, I'm going to give you something from the set of Doctor Who, what would you take?
Maybe a sonic screwdriver. I don't know which Doctors, but maybe the 12th Doctor's sonic screwdriver. Like, I absolutely adore the design of that one. Or the 14th Doctor's, that's pretty cool, from the 60th. Something like that, maybe. That would be, yeah. Maybe it's a bland answer, but I'd go with the sonic screwdriver.
Fantastic. Now, why don't you let everyone know what you're up to, and let everyone know how they can find you, buddy?
Yeah, so you can find me at The Confused Adipose on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I mean, I haven't posted on TikTok in a very long time, but if you want to go and watch a backlog of Doctor Who content, you can go over there. feel free to subscribe, turn on the notification bell, etc. Yeah, there you go. Confused Daddy Pose.
When will your next short film be out, roughly?
So, in terms of short films, this is slightly separate to YouTube, but I've got a science fiction short film called Therefore I Am. It's about a little clockwork robot that gains sentience, and yeah, it's kind of a mad plotline. But I'm hoping to submit that into a film festival. And if it goes into film festivals, it should be, if everything pans out, November time that it comes up onto YouTube. So you could stay tuned for that. In terms of the fan films, fan film I'm aiming, really crossing my fingers, hoping to have out by December, January, that sort of time. Yeah, that's the current release schedule.
Amazing. And before we leave, I think everyone agrees they would like to hear your Dalek impression. So go for it, bud.
What? Give me something to say. What can I say as a Dalek?
Fuck you, Doctor.
Fuck you, Doctor! There you go.
I like that.
There we go. See, I could get a job at the BBC. We can both be Daleks.
We could both be Daleks.
There we go.
I can't do a Dalek impression. Like, I could just barely do the Meep, and it wasn't very good. I am the Meep! Fuck you! Right. How we're going to end this podcast, as we end every podcast, we're both going to say our favourite swear word in a matter of 3 seconds. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Go for it.
3, 2, 1. Bastard!
Shit.
Ah. That was a bit anticlimactic.
There we go.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. We are looking forward to seeing your next short film and your increase of viewers on YouTube. I would just like to say thank you again for so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been absolutely fantastic. Good fun.